it's Knocker, and you're watching the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast, covering monster trucks on the West Coast, far and wide. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to, what is it, episode 5 already. I mean, feels like we just started the podcast. We're already on episode 5. I'm joined with my co-host, MJ. MJ, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. It's been a crazy week here, man. Crazy, crazy week going on, but I'm glad to be here. I'm excited.
Got a new tattoo, I heard. Let's see that. Let's check that out.
That guy right there.
Nice. Awesome. Well, you know, let's talk about our first guest a little bit before we bring him on. You know, driver of the Sniper Moss Truck, owner of the Hitman Ride Truck, Wally Turner. You know, Wally's a great guy. I met him a couple years back, and, you know, just watching him progress as a driver, it's been pretty cool. But, yeah, Wally's a great driver coming out of Utah. But before we bring Wally on, let's talk about some of our sponsors. One of our sponsors being Rogue Energy. So let's learn a little bit about Rogue Energy.
Rogue Energy is an energy supplement meant to keep you focused and energized at the same time. I've been drinking this stuff for quite a while now. Honestly, probably one of the best stuff I've ever tried. I got cherry limeade right now. Really great flavor. As you guys can see going down below, we do have a promo code, MTOutlaws10. Make sure you use that at checkout to get 10% off of your purchase.
With that said, let's bring on our first guest, Wally Turner, driver of Sniper.
I'm going to tell you, I'll be about 20 feet in the air off of this Mercedes here. Wait till that Vanstead gets hit. You better be looking up in the air.
Wally, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you. How are you doing tonight? Oh, I can't hear you. MJ, can you hear him?
Negative.
Negative? Okay, I think your mic's muted, Wally. That's weird. All right. I'm going to say technical difficulties. I'm going to say maybe try rejoining, try relogging, and then maybe it'll work. I think that's the problem we had. You know, this is what happens when you do it live. We had this problem before with, you know, people's audio is not working. So I'd probably say try rejoining and then should be fine. And well, well, he's going to get vlogged back in. Let's learn a little bit about virtual monster trucks. So stick with us. Wally's going to be right back on here. So while we wait for Wally to join back, virtual monster trucks, July 3rd. Here we go.
Del Mar, California, get ready for the first annual virtual West Coast Monster Truck Shootout, featuring some of your favorite monster trucks, such as the original monster truck, Big Blood, Racing World Champion, Bounty Hunter, Obsessed, and more. Three competitions, Monster Truck Time Trial Racing, Monster Truck Best Trick Competition, and Monster Truck Freestyle. July 3rd on WGAS Motorsports TV on YouTube, 7 o'clock Pacific time.
You can catch the action July 3rd, best of the best West Coast Monster Truck drivers. But we got Wally Turner back. Wally, how are you doing?
There we go.
I'm well. Can you hear me now?
Yep, 10-4.
Awesome. Sorry. You know, no, I'm not very good at the technical stuff.
It happens. It's all good.
Yeah. So
how's everybody doing? I'm excited pretty good. To be on. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So what have you been doing during this time with, you know,
other than being extremely frustrated, wanting to get out there and tear some stuff up, you know, just been working, getting the truck ready to go, making sure when we get the call that we're 100%, trying to have some fun, you know, trying to enjoy the family time. Normally this time of year, it's nonstop and going crazy. So it's kind of nice to have a little bit of family time, even though I'm ready to get back out and get going.
That summer grind is always real with the monster trucks, right?
That's for sure. That's for sure. It is definitely a grind, but it's well worth it.
So many people know you as, or I know you as, the, you know, a super fan, as you see in the background. We got Moss Jam posters in the background. So how did you get started in the monster energy industry? How did you get your start with the Sniper monster truck?
Yeah, man. So Vince, I am a diehard super fan, as you know, and we've talked about that a couple times. But I mean, yeah, and you can see behind me, I got World Finals posters. I mean, I go every year other than last year because I was going out to Florida. But I got started in this deal, just a childhood dream. Legit, just a childhood dream, which is why I love doing what I do. And I got started with at about 5-6 years old, went to a show with my dad, and it was at the old Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, Utah, and got to see that back then, before they couldn't run together, Gravedigger and Bigfoot were both there. And watched those guys race heads up, watched the whole show. Bigfoot actually wrecked in that show, rolled over, and old steel bodies crunched it. To this day, I literally can still hear the sound in my mind, and that just got me hooked. And from that point forward, I knew someday I wanted to try and do it and was going to figure out any way I could. And luckily, a few years ago, I was able to do so and started with the Hitman truck. Got the Hitman truck. It was a mud race truck out of North Carolina. Took it, built it up, and built it into the truck that it is today, which was a grind and a lot of work. But taught me a lot, and I was able to take that truck out and really work hard with that truck and, you know, keep pushing towards the dream from there, which eventually I was able to buy a chassis and build it up. And, you know, some of these guys, they're able to buy their turnkey trucks or build their trucks in short period of time. I literally bought the chassis, made the changes to the chassis, and it took almost 2 full years to get Sniper together and ready to go before we actually debuted it. So it's definitely, when we talk about the summer grind, I was grinding long before the summertime. That is for sure. So again, just a childhood dream. And it's legit when I tell everybody that you can live your dream someday. No problem. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it because I'm doing it, right? So it's pretty awesome.
So I heard you mention your chassis. Now, Sniper is a little bit different when it comes to chassis. It's a rear engine Wellman, I believe. And, you know, you see the front engine Wellmans, the Max Ds, stuff like that. What's it like running a rear engine Wellman compared to a front engine?
You know, it's pretty interesting. The benefit of my truck is that I'm super wide. And so even though it's got some roll in it because it's a little bit taller and the chassis, the motor sits up higher, I'm able to stabilize a little better because of that around corners or saves, like you saw in the promo video, where normally being a foot less wide, I would have gone over in those shots. So it's kind of nice to have that and get that extra, you know, that extra in the back. It helps me get the front end up, especially with the way I'm built, the axles that I have. My truck's super heavy. A front engine truck, I would be doing what Max D does all the time with that rear end bouncing up, going crazy and hoping to pull through.
So, you know, we talked about, you know, how you built up your truck. What was that like going from start to finish? Was, you know, I bet there was a lot of stress going through that. You know, what was going through your mind? I'm sure you wanted to give up at some point, right?
Man, I'll tell you what, when I was a guy that, even though I had the knowledge, I wouldn't even change my own oil. That's the crazy part before I jumped into this. And I just jumped in and said, let's figure it out. Let's see what we're going to do. And there was plenty of times that I thought about giving up. There was plenty of times at the shop trying to get this race. So the Sniper truck was actually supposed to debut at World Finals a few years ago. And it didn't happen because we were so, so delayed on getting parts, getting stuff in, grinding it out. We thought we could get it done. And in reality, the wheels didn't come in. And it ended up just being just a whole lot of craziness. And there was plenty of times, yeah, that I thought, you know what, I'm going to give up. And then I literally... Again, it just ran through my head. I still remember the sights and sounds, and I remember that old Bigfoot body crunching under the pressure of the truck as it rolled. And you know, I couldn't give up at that point because I knew that at some point I was going to get to where I was. But I can tell you, by doing it myself—not myself—I had plenty of people helping—but by us doing it and grinding it out, it really got me ready for what reality was of monster trucks. And you know, it's a crazy time. I'll tell you, I had a show one time with Larry Quick at the Maverick Center in Salt Lake, and Larry just put a new motor in his truck and blew the motor in the first run out. So at the end of Saturday night, I was helping him load it up in with the tractors, pushing up in the truck, doing everything we could just to, you know, throw that thing back in there so he could get to the shop and get it repaired. And Larry looked at me and he said, you know, I wish that back in the old TNT days, watching this thing, that they actually showed the behind the scenes stuff and actually showed us what real life was like, not just all the fun, cool stuff. Because man, this is a lot of work. And don't forget that as you're getting into it. And that's actually when I was building the truck. So it was good to see a guy like that had been doing it for years and to be able to get that, you know, acknowledgement from him that it's going to be crazy. So I live by that and realize that every day.
So, you know, what's the backstory behind the Sniper name? I know you're a big supporter of the troops. So, you know, what was going through your mind when you were thinking a name for a truck?
Yeah, so the way that this started out was I had the Hitman truck, as we talked about, and I was running the Hitman truck. And during that whole time building it, I wanted to figure out a name that would represent what I wanted to represent as I went out. And I realized that I can't. Literally, we're not having this conversation right now. I can't go out and live my childhood dream. I can't have fun if it's not for all of those that have served, those that do serve, and those that will serve, and their families that hold the fort down. There's no possible way it could happen. And so I needed to figure out something that would go with Hitman, but also would represent the military. And I thought for a long time, and I was actually at a show with Hitman, and was sitting there just racking my brain, and all of a sudden it just hit me. And the crazy part is I forgot that Rob French actually had the name. So the name Snipe hit me. And so I researched it real quick and found that Rob French had ran it. And I remembered it at the time. So I was a little bummed about it. And even though he wasn't running the truck anymore, still out of respect for Rob, I called him. And I called him up and I just said, you know, hey, this is what I want to do. I would like to run the name. Do you mind doing it? And to kind of give a little quick synopsis, Rob, you know, he wasn't big on giving up the name. He wanted to keep the name. He didn't want anybody to use it. And I explained to him, I said, look, Rob, I want you to know that this is why I want the name. I don't want the name because you ran it before. I don't want the name because of whatever you've put with it. I'm not looking to carry the name or to ride the coattails of the name that you put up. What I'm looking for is the representation of the military, to the dedication of all those that allow me to do this and allow the freedoms and allow us to go out and have fun. And unbeknownst to me, Rob was actually in the military and he was a sniper, and that's where the name came from. So once I explained it all to him, he immediately said, you know what? I can hear it in your voice. I hadn't even met him in person. I can hear it in your voice. And he goes, I know that you're going to do it right. And granted me the name and gave me the name. And you know, I didn't need that blessing in reality because he wasn't using it anymore, but I was so thankful to have it and have that blessing behind it and be able to use it and run with the name. And so then from that point on, I did. And on the back and the front of my truck, and it's on the back of the front, back and the front, in case I rip the tailgate off or rip the hood off, it still stays. But it says Home of the Free because of the Brave, and it's legit. I fly, you know, I have an Army hat that's inside my truck that was given to me by an Army vet that I had him autograph, and it rides on my steering wheel column. And I wear a bracelet with me of a veteran that passed away in service for us. And, you know, I have a lot of little stuff like that, American flag stickers inside the truck. There's all sorts of little stuff in there that always reminds me that, you know what, no matter how bad it gets, like we were talking about before, no matter how crazy it gets, no matter how frustrated I get, I remember those that allow me to get that, to have that frustration. So yeah, thanks for letting me take a minute there, because it really is near and dear to my heart. I'm trying not to be the first one to tear up on your show, I guess. So, so yeah, thank you very much for that.
No problem. Now, you know, your truck is one of the unique trucks on the circuit, and it actually, you know, think of sniper, you think of a ghillie suit, and you've implemented that with your truck. You know, when you were thinking about designing the truck, of course you thought about, you know, the strands, but, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the ghillie suit on the truck.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was funny because when I thought of the name Sniper, literally within 30 seconds, the entire design came to mind. And I realized what I wanted to do, and I realized what I wanted it to look like. And I wanted it to be no question that it was, you know, it was Sniper and it had the ghillie suit hanging on it. I didn't know how to do it. And so that was an interesting one. And I actually did that whole wrap myself in my garage. We took the body, we wrapped it, we put the name on it. I took 1-inch, little 1-inch pieces of steel, and took juke cord and took the individual strands out of the juke cord, which it has like 5 wrapped up in it. I literally just sat there and unbraided every single one of those by hand and glued them in, drilled them into the body, glued the 2 pieces together, drilled them in, bolted them in so that I can get that ghillie suit. And it was funny because I remember the first show that I had was actually with the Groth twins, and they looked and they're like, man, that thing's going to weigh 8,000 more pounds with all the mud that's going to stick to that. And the funny thing is I didn't even think about it. I never thought about how dirty it was going to get or what it was going to get or stuff attached to it or anything like that. I just thought it was going to be looking cool as I was flying through the air. And then the first world finals that I was able to get to, was actually the one after Mikey Vodder's one. And he came up to me and he's like, man, do you run with that on there? And I said, yeah. He's like, I bet that is so cool as you're flying through the air. So then I knew at that point, you know, Mike is also a fan of the sport. And I knew at that point that it was definitely sticking and I was super happy with it. I've actually debated on as we look towards a future change a little bit in possibly body and maybe wrap. I've debated on getting rid of the ghillie suit. And I asked a few people what they thought. When I say a few, I mean like 30 plus. And every single one of them, 100% of them said, you cannot get rid of the ghillie suit. That is part of it. And that's part of the identity of the truck, and you got to keep it. So it's going to stay, and we're going to be crazy and flying around forever. It's an interesting thing as I climb in and out of that window to wave to fans. Oftentimes you'll see me picking pieces of ghillie suit out of my eyes or out of my teeth or out of my mouth because it's all over the place. But it's well worth it. I think it looks pretty cool. So hopefully you guys do as well.
Oh yeah,
the truck, what it is.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. We have a fan question from Travis Palm. He asks, is there any plan to run Stealth eventually? I know Stealth, you've ran it in a display at the World Finals. Is there any plans on running it maybe in a show?
You know, so Stealth, there's a good possibility. We actually did some merchandise for Stealth. We got an idea design behind it. Stealth actually came about because we were scheduled to do World Finals. And if you remember right, all the stuff that happened on with the snipers and the people acting like snipers and killing people in the East Coast. And so that happened. And then there was a couple of, and then all the gun violence things happened. And Feld got a hold of me and said, look, we can't do sniper. And so we literally scrambled and found that we had that body. Actually, my crew guy had that body. And so I debated on that one for a bit. And I said, okay, what we can do that's cool, that's all blocked out, that still kind of gives us that same type feeling. And Stealth was born. And so the plan was not to ever run it. It was just to put it up there. But I have made an agreement that if we do any Feld shows in the future, that we'll run Stealth. And we may do it every once in a while. The only other time that we've talked about doing it so far is if we've been to a show like a couple years in a row and maybe they want a different name or something like that, then we've talked about doing it as a possibility. I've been able to nix that and still be able to run Sniper at those shows that we do multiple, because the kind of unwritten rule is that if you win the show, then you can come back with the next year and keep the same name and not have to change it, because everybody obviously liked you since it's a fan vote. And so I just go out and push as hard as I can to win the show. Then I don't have to worry about changing the name next time.
Right. So, you know, I'm going to backtrack a little bit here. You know, we talked about how, you know, you've had your interactions with, you know, the military personnel at the shows and things like that. Do you know, is there any memory that stands out to you, you know, at a pit party, anything like that? Any interaction you've had with a fan or a specific person that, you know, you want to talk about?
I'm pretty sure I just said that I'm going to do everything I can to not bring tears at this one. And you're trying to get them. So there's one of them there's a couple of them actually that are very special to me. And I'll tell you this, a lot of times you'll see post-show autographs. I end up being the first person in the post-show autographs because the other drivers know that I can't shut up, especially when a military guy comes up or a family comes up and I end up holding up the entire line at the end. So I end up being the first there so I can step aside and do that. But there is Sergeant Jordan Bird. He was out of Grantsville, Utah, and Jordan Bird came about to me. That's the bracelet that I wear, a memoriam bracelet. That came about to me at each show. Part of my, I guess you'd call it contract and agreement, is that I get to go on the mic at each show and thank the military, and do what I call or we call my tribute, and thank everybody for that. And at the end of one of the shows, a guy came up to me, and this was early on. And he came up to me and he said, you know what? He goes, I really appreciate what you said. I appreciate everything. I don't know how to show you my appreciation, but to give you this. And he took this black bracelet off his wrist and handed it to me. And stupid me, I didn't know what it was, honestly. I just glanced down at it and I said, thank you very much. I'll take this home and put it in my case and treasure it. And then I got in my hauler later on that night and I said, you know what? I need to see what this thing actually is. And so I researched it. And when I researched it, I found that it had Jordan Bird's name on there. And these were only given out to family members. And Jordan Bird gave his life trying to save. So he was a doctor and in the medical part of the military, of the Army. And he gave his life trying to save five of his fellow brothers as they were trying to fight for our freedoms overseas. And he was hit. But even more to that was Jordan was set to deploy. And before he deployed, his wife was about to give birth to his son. And he was able to be granted the time to stay home and see his son born. And he got to spend 2 weeks with his son before he deployed. So they let him be home, got to spend 2 weeks with his son, went over and was killed. And so I vowed from that moment, once I realized what that bracelet was and what it meant to that family, to always have Jordan fly with me. And so he flies with me all the time. And that's definitely a moment that will always stand out to me. I've had others that guys have brought me up. You know, like I said, I had an Army veteran that served and was wounded. And he took the hat off his head and handed it to me and said, here, I want you to have this. I don't have anything else, but I want you to have this. And I tried to talk him out of it because I knew it was his, you know, personal keepsake. And he was dead set that I had it. So I had him autograph it. And that's the one that flies on my steering wheel column. So there's a lot of them for sure. Obviously, the one with Jordan's bracelet definitely hits close to home, especially with the kids. And and not ever being able to see his son. And we actually were able to have, so that's in Grantsville, Utah, is where he was from, which is near Tooele, where we had a show not too long ago, a couple years ago. And we were able to actually have Jordan's wife and son out at the show and bring him out and, you know, present him with a few really cool things. And yeah, it's definitely, every story I hear definitely touches me because it's in my heart, right? I didn't even think about wearing this shirt. I mean, you can see, I literally just grabbed this shirt out and threw it on and said, let's go. I mean, the love of for the military that I have is beyond, so.
Yeah, like you said, without them, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. We wouldn't be able to sit here and have this conversation. But we do have another question here from Tyler Wicklander. He wants to know, what is the favorite show you've done without dirt?
Without dirt. So, Tyler, I have two of them. And two of them, one of them was Tyler was actually at. So I did one in South Dakota. And that was one of my favorite shows because I got to run with one of my childhood heroes, I guess. And got to go out there and run with Joe and the Marauder, or was Airborne Ranger, right? And so I got to go run with him, and the coolest thing, I met up with him in the finals, and it was straight cars and no dirt, and I got to meet up with him in the finals of racing, and I beat him. And so that was pretty cool. That's a memorable one. Plus, I got to go see Mount Rushmore while I was there. So that was pretty amazing. The one up in Washington, in Puyallup, Washington, that was a lot of fun. Pretty crazy. You parade all the way through the whole fair. Tons of people around, tons of trucks. That one, I think, would have been my absolute most memorable and really, really high enjoyment. But I had motor issues. And so I wasn't able to perform where I wanted to. And I was actually so upset that I wasn't able to perform to the level that I wanted to. I actually had that scheduled to go back this year. And unfortunately, it got canceled. But so that one was a lot of fun up there. That one was each one was a lot of fun and most memorable for certain reasons. That one up there, if you ever go to the fair in Puyallup, go try the scones, and they're pretty amazing in the fair. So the parade is cool. It's a fun deal, and I got to run that one with Donald Ependendio, and obviously Bill Payne and that whole crew and Jimmy Creighton and Don. So yeah, I mean, you hear it in my voice, right? That child's coming out that I get to run with all these guys that I watched when I was a kid. So pretty amazing.
And this is a new segment on the show. I just came up with it. I'm going to take a picture from, say, your Instagram or Facebook of a show, maybe a crazy wreck, and I'm going to pull it up right now. So I want you to explain this picture and how it happened.
So that ended up being my training truck. As you guys know, those of you that collect Hot Wheels and saw the training trucks coming out, that's how my truck ended up. So that ended up after my my first backflip attempt, which was interesting. It was the first attempt for both myself and for the promoter. That promoter had never set up a backflip ramp, and I had never tried a backflip. So we just said, you know what, screw it, let's go for it. Something that I got to do, I got to try it. I'm a huge fan of this sport, so let's try it. And we tried it, and the truck ended up like that because I didn't end up on four wheels. I ended up on my lid. We did it two nights in a row. I ended up on my lid. The second night, I was almost able to get it around. I mean, we were within about a foot of getting the front tires to grab and get back. But, it got pretty ugly. Tore that hood up, tore that back up. Ended up having to cut the whole back half of the truck off and the wheelie bar. Cut all that off and put it back together. And it took a long period of time to get that truck back to what it was. But I thought it looked kind of cool like that. So that's actually why I took that picture and said, hey, look, I got my very own training truck. I can't find them in Walmart, but I found one in my trailer.
Yeah, there's a pretty good resemblance. But, you know, talking about backflips, will we ever see Wally Turner attempt another backflip?
You know, if it's my choice, yes. Most guys will tell you no because it beats the crap out of the truck. But I don't like to fail. And so I had the first ever attempt in the state of Utah and failed. Craig then ended up doing another one in the state and he landed it. And so he was the first one to land it. And it doesn't even matter about first or last or anything in between, except for when you're racing. I definitely have a desire somewhere in the crazy part of my head to go for that again. and make sure that I get it around. You know, it's funny because I just went out and said, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. And I didn't really research it. I didn't figure out how fast I had to go. I just went off watching it on Fox Sports, right? And just said, hey, let's go. Look, those guys make it look easy. Let's try it. So we went and tried it. And now that I have the information on what it takes to do it, I definitely think I can pull it off now that we've cut another 18 inches out of the back of the truck and shortened it up. So I would like to. We had talks of, and again, another disappointment this year. We did have talks of doing it this year at a show locally, if for nothing else, just to try it. But we did have talks of doing it a couple different times and haven't been able to put those together yet. But I definitely want to, Vince, and I definitely see it in my future. I can't hang it up and put them up without at least trying it one more time, let alone making it happen.
Yeah, don't stop until you land it. But we're going to go on to our next thing with the show. Every time we bring on this dude, it's Phil Vicinanza, Philosophy. Phil, welcome again.
Welcome.
What's happening, Phil?
What's going on, everybody? Like the shirt.
Like that shirt too, looking good.
I was inverted. See, a little sniper.
That was it.
Backflip.
Am I the only one here without sniper merchandise?
Yep, you are the only one.
Yeah, Mr. O'Reilly's.
Hey, I just got off of work. All right, leave me alone. Got to do something when I'm not working on trucks.
I am curious though, Vince. How long did it? I know you and Phil have been buddies for a while. How long did it take for you to figure out how to pronounce his last name?
I don't think I'm even pronouncing it right now.
Are you still blowing it?
I don't even know how to pronounce it right. I've had the name for 23
tell
years.
Tell the viewers how you pronounce your name.
Vicinanza.
See, I butchered it. So.
Now you are like
this. You gotta do one of those.
Yeah, with a little hand. Yeah, but this isn't a podcast about my last name, guys. All right. It's a podcast about monster trucks and specifically Wally Turner. I've known Wally for handful of years now. He's always a staple at the World Finals Pit Party with the Hitman, and you know, he's always talking about wanting to get that race truck and got the sniper going. But you know, I hit it off with Wally from day one because, as you see with the posters in the background, he's a monster truck super fan. You know, he talks about all his experiences growing up, and whenever he's not competing at the shows, I'm more than often not see Wally sitting in the stands cheering everybody on. So I think that's always cool from a camaraderie standpoint, even if I'm not competing. I get to go out there and cheer on my fellow competitors.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just love the sport as a whole. And it's funny because I will go sit in the stands and watch them, and I'll see guys and they're like, well, why aren't you competing, or why aren't you down there, or you know, why aren't you a part of them? Like, because I just want to sit up here and enjoy it. I just want to watch the show and enjoy it. And a little secret, I told Phil this one time, and that's the only time I've ever actually said it, but one of the other things is I go to the shows to study the other drivers and learn what they do and learn their tricks and go learn their throttle rhythm and learn how to steal some stuff from them. So yeah, I love this sport. And you have to, you absolutely have to put in the time and energy that it takes between, you know, up until last year's World Finals, I'd made them all in Vegas. So I've been around this for a little bit, enjoying it.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, Wally. You know, I caught you in the stands in Salt Lake City last year, checking out the Triple Threat series, and especially watching your fine detail during the two-wheel skills challenge. And I've known at some of your events, you'll go out there and do something that maybe some of the other competitors aren't doing, and that's, you know, a stoppy or a moonwalk. You know, what goes through your mind when you're trying some of these more unique stunts on the independent events?
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. You know, we talked about being first, and I've had a lot of firsts at those attempts that nobody else is trying. And it does come from that. You know, you end up seeing it on TV and it looks easy. And so I go and I watch it in person, and I went to the Triple Threat because I knew that it was going to be nonstop stoppies, nonstop moonwalks, and all that craziness with inside those small arenas. And I sat and recorded it, and then I take it home and I sit and watch it and try and figure out that pivot point and try and figure out that throttle rhythm and what it takes. And the very first one I ever hit to get that stoppie up, I didn't go anywhere. It just popped up in the air. I was able to get the stoppie and drop the back end back down. Didn't walk it or anything. And it was the coolest feeling to be there staring at the ground at that point of almost no return and thinking, man, that was cool. And then the truck drops down and you hear everybody screaming. My crew's yelling on the radio, cheering, and you hear the fans screaming. And I know that at that point I did something pretty cool. And now we just got to get it better. Now we got to figure out how to walk it and do everything else. And I've been starting to do that. Been starting to figure out how to walk that thing, how to get it moving around, how to pop it around a little bit, especially, like I said, my truck is extremely heavy. And so to be able to do it, it's cool. And it's way cool to do something that, like you said, on the independent tours that nobody else is doing, and just be able to stand out and have that extra, push that edge, push that envelope, and keep pushing myself to see how far I can go.
You're 100% correct. And, you know, it's important to stand out in the crowd of an event, especially some of the events you compete in over on the Monster Truck Insanity Tour. You compete against veterans like Fred Christensen or Joe Cypher and Ron Duncum. Do you have any nerves when you compete against such veteran talent? And if not, you know, do they give you any pointers or advice throughout the event weekends?
So to answer the last question, they absolutely will give me no pointers and no advice. They just say, go out and good luck. And they actually don't even give me good luck if we're going against each other. It is definitely some competition when we get out there, especially with those names that you mentioned. Do I get nerves? Yes, absolutely. 100% of the time, no doubt about it, I get nerves. And if I didn't, then I know I'm not pushing myself hard enough. And when I get out there, and I do get in my own head and beat myself sometimes, unfortunately, I'll think about the cone, which is a 5-second penalty, and I'll hit the stupid cone because I was thinking about it, even though I didn't hit it in qualifying or any of the previous rounds or anything at all throughout. So I definitely do have the nerves, and I try not to look at who I'm competing against, because that's when I do get some nerves. And it's nerves out of respect. It's not nerves out of an inability to beat them or an inability to perform. It's nerves out of respect, because I realize how long they've been doing this, and that they're some of the pioneers of the sport. I mean, I've raced against some good guys out there, some really good guys, some Monster Jam drivers, some, you know, guys that compete everywhere all over the world, and not just the country, literally all over the world, and some of the best out there. Race against guys that all last year were, you know, a few of them were in the top 10 of the point standings across Monster Trucks. So, yeah, it's definitely some nerves come up, but I got to go out there and prove myself. I'm that guy that, you know, I'm going to come out and push myself as hard as I can and see what I can do.
Talking about, you know, competing against many people, something unique about your truck is you have a little reticle on the side of your truck, and whoever you beat, you put their name on the side, kind of like a gravedigger with the tombstones. So let's hear about that, Ryan.
Yeah, so very similar to the gravedigger with the tombstone. All with the exception of Jim Kohler and Avenger, everybody else that's on the side of my truck, they go on the side of my truck once I beat them. And Kohler, though, is on there because he's my favorite driver, and which is why I drive a lot of the way I do. And the craziness that he has, I tend to implement. But yeah, so I have little targets on the side, kind of like what you see through a sniper scope. And within those targets are the names of the trucks. And then we throw those up on the side and as we go throughout. And it's been pretty fun because some of the drivers actually have asked to put their own sticker up there. So I'll beat them one time, and then the next time I see them, I'll give them the sticker, and they'll go over, do the walk of shame, and put their name on the side of my truck. So it's pretty fun.
It's a big badge of honor too, especially, you know, like you said, you know, you get to compete against so many veteran talents, and you get to compete against a lot of diverse trucks. And your truck, like you said, is very unique. It's a little more heavier than some of the other trucks. But if you ever had the opportunity to drive somebody else's truck, do you ever have a pipe dream? You know, what truck would you drive and why?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would definitely be Avenger. I feel like I could represent for Team Scream pretty well. You see my photos, right? I mean, it's just a natural habit. My tongue's out. I'm going crazy. I get a lot of guys a lot of people that tell me in the pit party that they hope I drive as crazy as I take pictures. And so I try to do that. So, you know, everybody else is not everybody else, but I'm sure plenty of people are going to say, oh, Gravedigger, Max D. And yeah, those would be awesome. But to me, the top of the stack there is Kohler and the Avenger truck. And it just so happens that also my favorite car is a 57 Chevy Bel Air. So there is all of that combination. And I would love to take that thing and see if I can match some of that crazy big air that he does, having a truck like that that would hold up underneath me.
And here's an example of that.
It's a little bit of craziness for sure. Try to have some fun on the way. I try to take people and flip them upside down during shows or during the pit parties. And, you know, I often get kids upside down, and then I'll have an adult say, okay, me next. And I'll grab the adult and throw them up on my shoulder. And yeah, we tend to have a lot of fun. Sometimes you'll see the blue tongue sticking out. That's a world finals thing. But yeah, it's pretty good time.
So you are a kid at heart, you know, it's all about the kids at the events, and, you know, you are still a huge monster truck fan, but you're also a big monster truck collector. You are a big toy collector, and what keeps you going out to those stores chasing the toys, even though that you are the real-life monster truck driver now?
It's pretty funny. You know, I literally, before we came on, I said to my wife, I said, you know, I'm debating on where to sit for this tonight. And I was walking down into my storage where I have, a few hundred cases of sealed Hot Wheels monster trucks. And I was going to have that as my background. And then I walked down and saw these posters, and I thought, no, we're going to sit with the posters and relax where the lighting's good. And I have and it's a decent temperature too, but I definitely do. I tend to do it all the time. Yesterday I was at Target and Walmart Hot Wheels hunting. And I do it all, but Hot Wheels and now Spin Master, obviously. I just love the different trucks. I love the different collecting. I love the toys. I'm a collector at heart. Some people call it a hoarding. I call it passionate collecting. And I just enjoy them. I love them. And I have thousands of Hot Wheels monster trucks. I have five sets of every single World Finals trucks, including that 2020 that just came out. And it's just, you know, for me, it's not about the rarity, but I do have all the rare ones, most of them, and just a ton of the other stuff. And I just keep getting it. I enjoy playing with them. But and I'll tell you the grass root of it, Phil. The grass root of it, when I was a little kid, again, saw that show. I was that kid that I took the Hot Wheels cars and I got a hammer out and I smashed the Hot Wheels cars with my hammer on my concrete floor in my basement just outside my room and drove my old small hub Hot Wheels monster trucks over those cars for hours and hours and enjoyed it. So still takes me back to my childhood.
So an avid collector like yourself, when will we see a maybe sniper monster truck diecast come to life or stealth?
You know, so we had a couple customs made, and there was talk just recently, and I'm a little bummed we didn't do it, but I'm kind of glad because we didn't have the shows to try and distribute them. But we are in the talks of doing a diecast. Obviously, it wouldn't be a Spin Master because, you know, they're with Monster Jam. But we're working on a couple different routes of trying to do some stuff. I was pretty impressed with the customs that I had done and the way that they turned out and how cool they are. I had a 124th custom done, and I had a 64th custom done. Of the trucks. I gave one to my dad, and who's my crew chief, the sacrificer of everything, time and money and energy and effort and everything out there, busting his butt for me. And he's that voice in my ear telling me to speed up or slow down or what I'm doing or good job or that looked awesome or you suck or all the above. And so I gave to him the other one. And, you know, they turned out pretty cool. So I would like to get some done in the future. That the key is the ghillie suit and figuring the ghillie suit out.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if you do this after your runs anymore, but we're going to bring up another picture. You tend to do the dab after each freestyle run. Do you still do that? And let's hear the backstory behind why you do that.
So I still do the dab, and it's my son. It was kind of a smart aleck comment that he said, and I was like, man, I need to come up with my own way to kind of, you know, salute the crowd. It's the end. Here we go. This is awesome. And we're joking around. And he's like, oh, you should do the dab. I dare you to do the dab. I dare you to do it in front of everybody. And, you know, we had a few thousand people at the first show I did it at. And he was there. And I looked up at him and I pointed at him at the end of the freestyle. And I did the dab. And he laughed and everybody kind of cheered and screamed. And then some, I don't remember what it was, but my crew guys was like, what was that? My crew guy, Derek, he says, what was that at the end of the show? I'm like, that was the dab. I did it for my son. He's like, I don't know about that. So I said, okay, now it's got to stick. So So we did it. Now, I try to do it at every show. It's tough when, you know, when I have three wheels left on the truck, another one's sitting over there and truck's all busted up and I didn't perform to the level that I was hoping to, but we still got to have that celebration, that kind of final dab ending.
Right. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, ending freestyle, but let's go back to the beginning. Do you tend to plan your freestyle, anything like that?
You know, at first I did, and I would go out and I think, okay, let's do this, and I want to hit this, and I want to kind of build up, and you know, some guys want to just hit it and they just want to get out and go. Some guys want to hit a couple and kind of build up a little bit. And so I would kind of plan it out. Okay, I'm going to hit this, I'm going to hit this, I'm going to hit this. And that was at first. And I actually remember sitting at right before a show, and I was next to Kaylin Migas, and I was talking to her, and it was her rookie year and it was also mine. And we were kind of talking, and I was like, man, I kind of get the nerves. I got to get in now and get strapped in. Where like Darren was at that show, Ron Dunk was at that show. They're still hanging out, chit-chatting by the fence. They, you know, they're coming up real quick on their freestyles. And both her and I were strapping in and getting ready to go. And so I was kind of talking to her and planning it out in my mind what I was going to do and here and there. And I remember that. And now to this point, the only thing that I plan out is I always go and salute the fans before the freestyle and wave to them and say hi. And then once those lights kick on and that music goes, it's time to go. And I just pretty much just hit whatever is in front of me and go from there. I try to make sure I get a big hit towards the beginning in case in case I do break the truck, at least get some sort of wow factor in there and have some fun in that first little bit.
So we have another question here from Travis. He wants to know, what is your best advice for getting involved into the monster truck scene?
Well, I'll give you an example of a kid that I know. So there was this kid that I know, and he was trying to get out there. He was trying to be a part of Monster Trucks. He was one of those kids that would always post up and say, you know, I want to be a part of Monster Trucks, and it's my dream to be a part of this, and my dream to be a part of the industry, and so on and so forth. And that kid kept hitting people up left and right. And this is not me, by the way. That kid kept hitting people up left and right and trying to get out. And until he could get someone to say, yeah, you know what, come out and do it. And he hit me up at one point and I said, let's go. And it was funny because I remember he was so nervous that he was worried about what he was going to wear. He was worried about what gloves he was going to use. He was worried about, you know, what we were going to do, whether he should wear a hat, whether the gloves that he was going to get were the right ones. And I told him, don't worry about it. You know what, just get out there and I'll give you this piece of advice that I gave him. Be prepared to work hard. And as you do it, listen, that kid is one of the three of you sitting on this broadcast right now. Sorry, and it's not Phil. So that was Vincent. And you know, I was impressed with that. And I always try to give that time to those that want to get out there and do it. And so my piece of advice would be, don't be afraid to work hard and don't give up on your dreams. Because like we talked about at the beginning, was I gave up, or I almost gave up a few different times and said, nope, I'm going to keep pushing and we're going to keep pushing, and it pays off. But be prepared to work. And I've said it multiple times now, be prepared to work. It's a lot of hard work. And if you're willing to do it, it'll pay off.
That's funny. 14-year-old me, I mean, I can't believe it's been that long ago since I met you. I mean, I'm a perfectionist. I did not know what I was doing, but, you know, that's where I got my start with you, Wally. It was at the state fair. You know, I was like, if you guys need any help, I'll be here. And, you know, I've learned a lot since then. And, you know, I want to thank you and Derek for, you know, giving me that chance to help you guys back then. But, yeah, I mean, that's great advice, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciated your help. So we'll get your butt back out again. We're going to get you dirty again.
Excuse me. So, you know, you've been in it for a while. Do you have any goals that you want to meet, you know, sometime in the future, maybe near future, far future?
You know, obviously there's always the goal, being the childhood, or the kid still that wants to get in there and do it, and run hard. Obviously there's the goal of running for Monster Jam. So, you know, I'd like to do that. I was asked to do a show for them a couple years ago, Santa Clara, and we weren't able to put it together, unfortunately, and I still regret that. We've talked about maybe, you know, being able to get the truck to where, which it is now, it's to their specs, but at the time it wasn't exactly where they wanted it. And so we talked about doing that and being able to run a tour. I just can't put in the full time for a tour. So I would like to do it one time. I would like to go out and compete against those guys, because I compete against those drivers all the time on the independent tours when they're running their independent trucks, a lot of those drivers. But I would like to get in one of those shows and go after them and give it all I got and push that truck as hard as it can on those kind of tracks in a stadium and see what I can get those guys.
So you need to talk about possibly competing in Monster Jam with the stealth truck. You know, I've seen you at shows. I've seen you at the All-Star Challenge. That's when I got sick, but that's a whole other story. But, you know, talking about that, what's a move you want to try? We see you trying, you know, the poppers trying to get the moonwalk, but is there any other move you want to try eventually?
Yeah, you know, obviously, like we talked about before, I want to land the backflip, not just attempt it. I want to get the – I've been getting the popper. I've been getting the stoppy pretty good. I want to be able to walk it across the arena as far as possible and get that exact balance point. I think that's really cool. And believe it or not, the one thing that I really, really want to pull off, because I think it's one of the coolest tricks of all time, and I haven't been able to do it because of the smaller arenas that I compete in and the heaviness of my truck, and just not getting enough throttle, I guess, is the slap wheelie. I want to get that slap wheelie, and I've been able to take the wheelie and drag that bumper all the way across tabletops and that kind of stuff, but the actual full power of just pushing that truck to get that front end back up and dragging that bumper all the way across the arena is definitely something that I want to pull off. So probably not the not the answer that most people would expect, because you know most are going to say something crazy, but that is definitely something that I want to do. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff those guys do and are set up for. So who knows? We'll see what the future brings.
So I hear you talking about the heaviness of your truck. You know, it's pretty heavy, and, you know, it's hard to get those slap wheelies like you've been talking about. So talking a little bit about that, have you ever thought about possibly getting a new chassis or a new truck down the road?
Yeah, I have thought about it. Just depends on how long I end up running for it. That's going to be the key. You know, it's obviously a huge investment, time and money, and I would like to do it, though. I think that I do pretty good, and I think that I compete pretty well, and I would like to see what I can do in one of the low center of gravity chassis and those lighter trucks and see what I can pull off with those.
So there's a lot of chassis to choose from. So talking about that, what would be a chassis you would want to drive? Maybe a Patrick chassis, maybe a front engine Wellman, or, you know, one of the newer ones, a Cohen, or maybe a new CRD.
Yeah. You know, I would like to obviously drive a Patrick for sure. I would like to do a Patrick for sure, just because the history, right? Because Dan Patrick is an innovator in the sport and what he does there. A Cone, I mean, any of the newer ones, you know, even to give a shout out to my arch nemesis, Craig Christensen, he builds a really good chassis. And so there's a lot of them out there. One of them that I have looked into is actually Kohler's. Jim Kohler builds chassis and he'll do those as well. So yeah, I'm really not too picky on what I can do, what kind of chassis setup that I would have or would really desire. You know, Patrick would be cool because of the history and they're obviously proven. Anything that's lighter weight, lower engine, lower center of gravity that I can go even crazier it'd be fun to try no matter what.
Yeah, we see you always competing around the West Coast, but will we ever see Sniper maybe expand to the East? Or I guess we should say, what's a venue you want to drive at someday?
That's a good question. You know, obviously Vegas would have been cool. That would have been a fun one to drive at, period. But, man, that's a tough question. To be honest, I don't really care. I just want to go have some fun. I want to get in a huge stadium. I love the shows that I do. I love the shows that I do, and I think I would love the shows that that we currently do way above and beyond those huge stadium shows, because I get to be firsthand with all the fans, really take the time with them, feel and see their energy, see them up close and be a part of that. But it would be cool to run a huge stadium. You know, it'd be cool to go out to Minneapolis and do a show there. It'd be cool to do some of the Florida stadiums and some of the history that goes into some of those different venues all over the country. Would be pretty cool to do. And then the same thing, obviously, West Coast, you know. So pretty much just anything big and crazy I'd like to try.
So going on that, do you have any maybe funny road stories you can share, or maybe an incident that happened at the show?
There's not a lot of road stories that I think can be shared, but there's plenty of interesting ones. I'm sure that, you know, I don't know about the previous guys, but there is definitely a lot of crazy stuff that happens in the shows, in the pits, in the haulers there to and from. I mean, you know, you spend 10, 12 hours driving to a show, another 10 or 12 hours back, and the time in between of blowing tires and refueling and stopping for food. There's plenty of times that you need to entertain yourself. So I like to pull practical jokes. I like to pull funny voices and different singing. And I like to embarrass people that are with me, and just have some good times. So I know there's plenty of time over the years that my crew guy, Derek, has looked at me and been like, man, you're crazy. I don't even know what you're doing right now. So in particular stories, you know, none that really stand out as much. I mean, there's been plenty of times that we've slept out on hammocks or underneath trucks or craziness where we've been putting a motor in until 5 o'clock in the morning to try and get out to an 8 a.m. display. And then we're sleeping under the truck and a whole lot of different stuff that happens there. And then you fall asleep around your guys that you're on the road with or other drivers. Bill Payne being one of the greatest at the crazy stuff. One of them show that I was at of his that was a lot of fun. And we've done this a couple times. Something that I really enjoy is you invent a word or give a word to the next driver that's coming up to do an interview, and you got to use that somewhere in your interview. So that one's a lot of fun. That one's a pretty crazy one, because you say some crazy word that doesn't make any sense or have anything to do with what you're talking about, and the people that are actually paying attention look at you like, what is going on? So pretty much anything that gets me that what's going on crazy look, I guess.
Yeah, we have people commenting saying, as a Minneapolis fan, from Travis Palm, he says, I would love to see you run up north. So we got some, you know, maybe up north fans wanting to see Sniper, hopefully in the future. But MJ, do you have any other questions for Mr. Wally Turner?
No, I mean, it's always fun. It's always a lot of work around these trucks. You know, you're up late. I've had my experiences being up with, you know, the Swansons 2 a.m. changing transmissions and then being up the next morning. But it's awesome. You know, it's my first time talking to Wally. Great. He seems like an awesome guy. I hope to be able to work with him someday. But yeah, all I can say is, you know, it's a lot of work, and it really is. You know, it's you know, there are those times where you get to mess around, have some fun, but then at the end of the day, you know, you do have a job to do, but it's all fun in the end.
Yeah, I want to go on a little tirade for a second, but talking about Wally and, you know, how hard it is working on these trucks. The first time I met Wally was at the Arizona State Fair, and he was battling issues all weekend with the truck, and it was not a really good weekend for the team, and couldn't figure out what was going on wrong. And I remember Wally had to head up to Rod Wood's shop to get, I believe it was a cheap part, and he had to drive about 100 miles to get one small part for the truck. And then next day, got the truck running again, and broke it the first show. And I don't think he made the next show, but I mean, that just shows you how hard it is. The monster life is pretty brutal. If you want to talk about that, Wally, maybe that might be
that. Yeah, that is definitely a show that I would like to
forget about,
file it away in the memory bank. That's for sure. That one, not only did I drive 100 plus miles down to Rodwood's shop to get that tiny little part, I drove 100 plus miles down to Rodwood's shop in a freaking smart car. And we borrowed Bill Payne's smart car and shot down there. So that was definitely an adventure. But it was cool. We got down to Rod's and got that and got back and was able to get ready for the next show. But the part that we had broken messed so much stuff up that we got out there and did the best we could and ended up spewing oil everywhere and screwing up the motor. But it was a lot of fun. But like MJ said, you know, yeah, it is a lot of work, tons of work. But here's the crazy part. If you can forget real easy, it's so worth it. Because the second time that, whether you're a crew guy or a driver, the second time that you flip that switch and that thing fires up, that very instant, you forget it all. You forget the fact that you're tired and you're only going on 2 hours sleep. And you forget the fact that, you know, you just broke $3,000 in parts right before, or $10,000 in parts or whatever it is. You forget all that. The second it fires up and you hear that crowd go crazy, it just goes away. And then you finish up and hit the bed, and then you realize, holy cow, I'm tired. And that was crazy, but well worth it.
Yeah, I want to appreciate you coming on the show. It's been fun. We have one last question to end it off. Phil, what you got?
You know, Wally, this has been a great interview. One of the lasting memories I always have of you is whenever you're out in intros and you have your water bottle and you're just throwing it around, just lights the crowd up. It could be so mundane, just waving to everybody. But you'll come out there with a blast, even if the truck might not be running 100%, you're making the loudest impression right from the start. And when this is all said and done in your career, what do you want your legacy?
You know, to address the first thing that Phil said there, it's funny because there's one picture of that. Only one picture that I have of me before a show, and that actually ended up by accident. I just had a water in my hand one time and threw it when they introduced me and thought, well, that was cool. Let's stay with that. But Phil knew that was coming one time at a show in Vegas, and he took that picture and sent it to me, and it came up the other day in my memories, and it was pretty cool. And I thought to myself, you know what? I really appreciate Phil taking that picture. So sorry, just to sidetrack it there for a second because it is pretty cool. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, I like to go out. I like to go crazy. I know Vince said to me one time in one of our first times together, he's like, you know, I don't know much about you, but I think that you really like the big air. And I said, yeah, you're exactly right. That's what I go for. That's what my forte is. It's not about the technical. It's not about any of that. So I like to run hard. I like to go hard. I like to be the guy that known for going hard and known for running. Really, at the end of the day, I don't want my quote unquote legacy to really have anything to do with my driving, to be honest, to be 100% honest. I want my legacy to be what I was able to give back, what I was able to do. I try to do a lot of charity. I team up with the Mascot Miracles Foundation. We came out with a new mascot this year for Sniper Monster Truck, just so that we could help out Mascot Miracles and be with them. They help kids that are terminally ill, that have diseases that are incurable. And I just want to be known for the one that had the fun, that had the energy, and had a good time no matter what, and was able to entertain the kids, entertain the families, give everybody their money, their money's worth. And, you know, you hear a lot of guys talk about it, and I think most everybody means it, but it's not easy to earn a dollar, you know, and to be able to, and for you guys and people to spend that money to come out and literally allow me to live my dream, to literally pay for me to allow me to live my dream. And I can't be thankful enough. And so I want to show that. I want to show my love and compassion for the sport. I want to show my love for the kids. And if I can inspire one kid to be able to come up and be able to do what I've done, then great. If I can help one kid understand what it takes to do it, great. If I can help a family through something, if I can help a military family, if I can help, you know, sick kids, disabled kids, whatever it may be, I just want my legacy at the end of the day to be known for someone that was there and that I was there to help. And I always gave it my all, not just in the truck, but at pit parties, at autographs, at every interaction, and just had an amazing time.
A lot of fun having you on, Wally. It was a very fun episode. Would like to have you on maybe sometime in the future. I had a lot of fun. MJ, what do you think?
It's been awesome. You know, Wally, great meeting you. Hope to be able to work with you, see you at a show sometime. But honestly, this was great. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and is there any maybe social media or sponsors you'd like to thank? Where can we follow Wally Turner and Sniper?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Facebook, Sniper Monster Truck, also Hitman Monster Truck. So either one of those, and then obviously Wally Turner. I don't do much Instagram. But I do have those, and you can get me there. We try to do updates. We try to get everything there. You know, you can reach out to me all the time. I always try to get back to everybody and, you know, send anybody requests, anything that happens there. So please, please follow the page if you would, Sniper Monster Truck, and we'll keep getting the updates there, getting some show or get the pictures on there, that kind of stuff. And yeah, I mean, I'd love to come back on, as you know, or as you know me, I just keep talking. I don't ever shut up sometimes. So I'm sure I have more to say at some point if you guys want to hear it. But I do appreciate you coming back on or having me on. I do hope to see you, MJ, in the future, and we'll get out there. And if you're with the Swansons, then hopefully I beat you. And if you're there hanging out, then it would be great to see you.
Well, thanks for coming on, Wally. We'll hopefully see you in the future, like I said. But thank you once again. MJ had a lot of fun doing this episode. And you know what? We do it always at the end of the episode, our next guest. Now, both of us know this guest pretty well. I actually was talking to him on the phone last night about it, and he's pretty excited for the episode. Maybe you want to give him a little hint on who it is?
Yeah, this guy, he's driven a plethora of trucks. He's, you know, he runs with Bill Payne, runs Sturgis Trucks. You know, great guy. I've had the personal opportunity to work with him, but it's going to be the one and only Juan Munoz.
As here we go, a little teaser trailer about some of the crazy wheelies Juan has done.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
We'll see you next time, next Friday, 6 o'clock Pacific time. As always, Vincent Ackard, MJ Solorio, signing off.
See you guys.